God bless you this morning, beloved. Praise the living God. I apologize. I haven't got to do more of these this week. I planned to really do some good stuff yesterday and got trapped in the prison for almost 5 hours. But it was wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. I ran out of steam preaching, and that's not usual. I usually can just keep going and going and going. And I didn't know why in the world am I running out of steam. Chaplain told me it was 3:30. I got there at 10:30. So I said, oh my goodness. But praise the Lord. I mean, oh man, it was just really, really good yesterday. A lot of new faces and people really finding Christ, finding the truth in awe and shock, in shock and awe, finding the truth of Christ and realizing why their life had to be crucified and believing in the one that he sent. Oh man, the true gospel is under a constant attack, a barrage of lies, and it's so rare. When Jesus said the way into life is narrow and few there be that find it, what I see is that's exactly true about how often the gospel is actually preached and the true message of the cross is actually preached. It's very rare, and there are very few that preach it. And that's also confirmed, as Jesus says, in the last days, many false prophets. And in the context there, it's people will come and they'll say they represent God, but they will not be from God. They'll be misleading people into something that's not the truth, something that's not the true message of the cross. And yesterday, it never ceases to amaze me when there's new faces. And oh my goodness, the gospel got so intense yesterday. And as I was preaching the Holy Spirit, I was talking about how we are self-centered, self-focused, self-advancing creatures by nature, why our life had to be crucified. And I was sharing how I would get frustrated with God, even in the middle of a jungle. Preaching the gospel because the lady didn't get out of the wheelchair, because this didn't happen or that didn't happen. And while I was sharing that, I remembered the Lord asking me what was her name when I got mad at him because this woman didn't get out of the wheelchair. And just as kindly as you could ever ask, he said, what was her name? And you know what? I didn't know her name. I didn't know anything about her. And what the Holy Spirit revealed is I didn't even really care about her. The reason I was upset is because I cared about me. When I was out and doing that in the jungle, I was wanting God to back me up because I wanted progress. I wanted success. I wanted to be, looked at as spiritual and as a leader and as one that had the power of God. And I didn't realize that. That's why I was getting frustrated with God. And basically what it came down to, and it came out yesterday in the prison in such an intense way, is that I wasn't serving God because I hated and wanted to give up my life. I was serving God because I wanted him to bless my life, make it special, put it on the top. And the way that it came out yesterday when I was talking about that wheelchair incident, and I didn't know the lady's name, I didn't know anything about her. I didn't know what she was going through. Why? Because I didn't care about the lady. I didn't know that, but I didn't care about that. I cared about me. And what God was dealing with me about is he cared about the woman. He knew her name. He knew the problem she was facing. He knew, and I'm sure it's true because it came out yesterday. It was so, oh my God, the power. That he knew that she had lost a child in a car accident. I didn't even know that till yesterday when I was prophesying it to those people. But I guarantee if I go find that lady, it's true. He knew all of those things about her, and I didn't stop to even ask. I didn't even stop to listen to anything about this woman to really minister to her where she was at, because I didn't really care about her or where she was at. I cared about me. And oh my goodness, this is what we are, friend. I mean, you could judge me when you hear that because you don't think you're that way. You think, oh no, that's, oh man, that's ungodly. You don't go there for yourself. Oh, we all say the right things. We all think we're doing the right thing, Because we are blinded from our own iniquity. We're blinded from our own self-preserving, self-advancing nature. Find a preacher, any preacher, who really wants to be successful in the ministry, and you will find Adam alive and well, self-advancing, self-promoting, striving with other people, saying, "I'm right, you're wrong." I mean, oh my goodness, there's no people more steeped in iniquity in the world than religious people. None. And they don't even realize it. What's so dangerous is that they think, because I believe in God, or I said a prayer, or I'm so-called living for God. They don't, and people don't even want to mess with that passage. Many will stand before him saying, "Lord, Lord." And when you read people's explanations, they're pitiful. They try to explain it away. "No, these aren't real Christians. These are, you know, what are you talking about? Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy and cast out devils and lay hands on the sick? What do you mean they weren't real Christians? Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name?" Friend, these are people that weren't just Christians. These are people who gave up their life, their money, their time to travel to preach Jesus, to go to different nations. These are people who were in the ministry, friend. These aren't just, quote, Christians that go to church. If you really believe the scriptures, it will rattle so much of what's being taught and what people believe. And the reason I'm doing this devotion this morning, just this morning, I was, reading, "Watch and pray that you're accounted worthy." And somehow I came upon somebody asking a question online to one of these wonderful Christian ministries that are there encouraging everybody that everything's going to be okay and that God's going to get us all out of here. And they asked that question. They said, "Well, what about this scripture where Jesus says, 'Watch and pray that you're counted worthy'? Because I've been taught," this is what they said in the question, "I've been taught and I believe that if you're a Christian, you're counted worthy because you believe in Jesus. It's not because of your behavior." And the person answering the question just comforted them. "Well, it doesn't really mean that. All genuinely born again people are going to be raptured. They won't go through this, the tribulation coming." And they didn't mention any other scripture. They didn't mention a single scripture in the Word of God. Why didn't they? Because this is what we have today. We have people teaching things that are not the full gospel. When I say the full gospel, it doesn't preach what the entire Bible preaches. If you're going to be a teacher of the Word, and God, I'm talking to myself too. It's not about me, I'm right and others are wrong. I'm rebuking myself. I always have to keep this in mind as a preacher. If you're going to be a teacher of the Word of God, you have to read the whole thing continually so that you teach it in context. For example, Jesus didn't just say, "Watch and pray that you're counted worthy." He explained over and over and over how many people are going to miss the rapture. They're going to miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. Matter of fact, all those invited one by one begin to give an excuse. In the end, it says all of them, all the virgins went to sleep. They're all genuine believers. All of them went to sleep because the Lord tarried. When the awakening happens and Jesus is about to come back, half of them don't have oil and ask the others, "Hey, give us what you got." They said, "No, you've got to go get it where we got it from." Oil, friend, the Holy Spirit is here. The oil is always about the Holy Spirit. He's here to lead people into the truth. If you don't understand the genuine message of the cross, if you haven't rejected your own Adamic life and hated it, if you haven't rejected this world, Paul said, "I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me." The Bible says, "If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Modern Christianity, friend, is a bunch of people that love the world just as much as the people of the world. They actually think that God is here to give them the world. It's not the truth. It's mixed with truth so that it looks true. But the vast majority of people right now who think that they're Christians would not go in a rapture. I don't know that I would go. I believe the rapture is the end of the maturity of the body of Christ. If you really read the scriptures continually, you'll see the body of Christ will mature. It will come to full maturity. The fivefold ministry was given until we all come into the fullness of the knowledge of the Son, the faith of the Son, unto the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus sat down until all his enemies were made his footstool. Psalm 110, he's going to send forth the rod of his strength through Zion, through the born again children of God. Well, another parable that shows us in the last days, it's scary, but it's true. The God's going to send forth angels, and they're going to weed out every stumbling block out of the body of Christ. All the teachers think that that's somebody else. That's those people. Christians think that's those people. Friend, he's talking about Christians. He's talking about massive numbers of people who think that they're Christians, and maybe they really are Christians, but they're not reading, they're not understanding, they're not being taught the true message of the cross, so they're not rejecting their own life, they're not taking up their cross, they're not really walking after the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. And friend, the Holy Ghost is going to come and remove every stumbling block. And then the sons of God, this is along with the maturity of the body, as the sons of God enter fully into what Jesus has accomplished. The only way to do that is for them to truly bring every thought captive. And it's going to happen. It'll happen through pain and difficulty and troubles in the world. But genuine children of God are being purified. They're going through sanctification until they're done with this life, and they hate it and they reject it, and all they want is the kingdom of God and the life of Jesus Christ. They don't want anything in this world, friend. The body of Christ right now in the world is nowhere even near that. Nowhere even near that. But it's going that direction as the troubles come. The Bible says there's going to be a great falling away. That's another thing these teachers don't say. When people say, what does it mean, watch and pray? What does it mean 50% of them aren't ready? What does it mean? They're always trying to comfort people with lies. The false prophets always said peace and safety. Always said God's going to protect you. You're not going to go into captivity. God's going to rescue you. He's going to defeat your enemies for you. The true prophets always said, no, that's not true, because you're walking in iniquity. You're walking in your own flesh, your own life. You're going into captivity. You're going through tribulation. You're going to suffer. But at the end, God is going to restore you. God is going to heal you. God's going to deliver you. At the end, after you go through the fire and the captivity and the tribulation, I mean, this is all through the Word of God. It's not a matter of eschatology, which means end time events. People want to argue over, does the church go before the rapture? Or I'm sorry, before the tribulation or after the tribulation or in the middle of the tribulation? Friend, none of that. That's just man wrangling and fighting and arguing and fussing. Yet there's truth probably in every single one of those camps. But the scripture as a whole is constantly warning us. There is no such idea in the scripture that all those people who believe and said a prayer and go to church are just one day going to disappear. There's nothing in the word to lead us to that unless we take one or two scriptures out of context and throw the rest of the Bible away. The entire Bible as a whole is warning us. Most of the people who think they're going are not going. It's warning us that in the end times, there'll be a great falling away. There'll be a weeding out. There'll be a great awakening because they all go to sleep. Watch and pray so you're counted worthy, friend. Not everybody is going to be raptured out of here. It's my opinion, if I look in the Word of God as a whole, I believe one of the things the Holy Spirit told me about 20 years ago that I keep seeing is one of the problems with us as Christians. We focus on the world rather than the church when we think of end times. Jesus said to focus on the church, not the world. Watch. Jesus said earthquakes and diverse in many different places, rumors of wars, all of these things are happening, plagues, pandemics, stuff like that. He said, don't be alarmed when you see these things taking place. These are not the sign of his coming. But they are birth pains. The world is in birth pains because they want the sons of God, the creation, not the people of the world, but the creation wants the sons of God to be manifested. It's groaning in eager expectation for the full maturity of the true sons of God to come into the full likeness of Jesus Christ and demonstrate the true power of the cross in the world. Oh, bless the Lord Almighty, man. The word is clear in so many areas, but you have to read it as a whole and meditate on it as a whole. You can't sit down and read the New Testament and think that you can relax and think that, hey, it doesn't matter what I do, and it doesn't matter how much iniquity's in my life, it doesn't matter what I'm watching and listening to and meditating on. Yeah, Jesus is just going to come and I'm going to pop out of here. Friend, there's no, that idea doesn't exist in the Word. It doesn't exist. What does exist is a constant warning that many people are going to miss the escape. Many people are going to miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. All those invited who love the things of this world, one by one, they begin to give an excuse. I just got some oxen. Friend, Jesus isn't talking about unbelievers. He's talking about believers, the invited ones, the religious ones, the ones that are so-called children of God. One by one, they begin to give an excuse. I'm sorry if I don't want to sound mad about this or sound like I'm right and somebody else is wrong. I'm agitated at the devil's lies. So many people have been lulled to sleep. There's no pressing into Christ. There's no pressing into holiness. There's all kinds of filth in our lives. And I say our lives because it's my brothers and my sisters. And I've seen it in my life. And every day, you know, I'm seeking the Lord by the grace of God, not by my own strength and by my efforts, but by what He accomplished at that cross, that His life would be flowing. And His life doesn't want filth. His life doesn't want all the junk of the world. His life's not hungry for the bigger house. His life's not hungry for the success. It's not at all. And I'm finding that out more and more as I really pursue Him and His life manifest. His life isn't lustful. You know, it's amazing. But the true message of the cross is our death. It is our decrease and His increase. And that's where the body of Christ should be headed, pressing in to the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, friend, we are in for a tremendously rude awakening. Who did COVID skip over Christians? It did not. Did anything that the world has gone through skip over Christians? No, it didn't at all. I do believe in a rapture. I believe in the maturity of the body of Jesus Christ, as the Word of God constantly points to. Study Psalm 110. Look in Hebrews 10, where Jesus sat down expecting every enemy to be made his footstool. For he has forever perfected them that are sanctified in him. What does it mean? Plain English. Jesus went up and sat at the right hand. He's expecting the body of Christ to enter fully into his life and for every enemy to bow. Because he's already done the work in all of us through the cross. He already did it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, the five, when he ascended into heaven, he gave the fivefold ministry. Until, such an important word, not until the rapture, not until the time and date set by the Father that we all just leave here instantly. No, until we all come into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nobody getting raptured who's not entered into the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that might scare people. It should. It should have us pressing into the mark of the high calling. But I do want to encourage us and comfort us today that we can't prepare ourselves. Even if you try to prepare yourself for such a thing, you'll never be able to do it. It's not to him who wills. Oh, well, I think yesterday was preaching almost 4 hours there, but that was the main message. It's not to him who wills, nor to him who runs, but it is of God that showeth mercy. That's in Romans chapter 9. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot prepare ourselves. No matter how much we try, we can't. But we have to look to him and his cross and bring our thoughts captive to what he accomplished so that he can do the work in us, both to will and to do. And God will finish the good work he's begun. He will bring the body of Christ, the true born-again believers, he will bring them to full maturity. In the very end, when the angels come and remove the tares, the Bible says the sons of God will shine in the earth, friend. If you study that parable of the wheat and the tares, The kingdom of God is in the world. It's in the earth. It's in the children of God. When the tares are removed, the sons of God in the earth, in the world, will shine as bright as the sun. Why in the world would the sons of God shine as bright as the sun in the world? Because every stumbling block has been removed, and the true message of the cross is all that's being preached, and people are denying themselves, giving up their lives, taking up the cross. They don't care about the world at all. They're not serving God for success. They're not asking God for the better position at their job or the bigger house or the nicer car. They're not in it for that. They have understood what the world is through pain, through tribulation, turmoil, through loss of children. All kinds of things are taking place. A preacher called me the other day. He's been in the ministry his whole life. His wife died of cancer a few years back. A terrible situation. All three of his kids have went into the homosexual lifestyle since the loss of their mother. Everybody in church was prophesying their mother was going to be healed. Their dad was believing and praying, and by his stripes were healed, and the mom dies of cancer. And all three kids. And this guy, man, I've known him for years and years. He's from Africa. I mean, he's very prayerful. Obviously, he's a human being. He's had compromise. He's not perfect. And his family, oh my goodness, lost his wife to cancer. Now all three kids are in homosexuality. These kinds of things, these kinds of difficulties that nobody's expecting in their families, these kinds of things are going to shake people to the bone, friend. And it's going to wake us up. It's going to wake us up to reality. There's no such thing as because we received Christ, now we're walking in iniquity, but it's not counted, and we're just going to all of a sudden escape out of here. Friend, no. God is going to purify us. As a matter of fact, it says, and it was at Ephesians 5, that he died for us so that he might wash us with the water of the word in order to present us to himself spotless, without any blemish, as a perfect bride. That's what he's doing. He went and sat down expecting every enemy to be made his footstool, for he has forever perfected them. Yes, he's done it in the spirit, but now we've got to catch up to what he's done. What does that mean? Believe what he accomplished. Confess what he accomplished until we enter into the power of what he has accomplished. Those who escape what's coming on the world are those who are walking fully in the life of Jesus Christ. If somebody looks around right now, they'll be like, well, nobody's going. They'd be exactly right, because it's not time. How do I know it's not time? Because I'm watching the body of Christ. I'm watching what Jesus said. He said, when you see the troubles in the world, don't be alarmed. I'm listening to what he said. I'm not worried about COVID. I'm not worried about the earthquakes and all the different things taking place and the rumors of wars and all. I'm not worried about it. I acknowledge that those things are happening. They're birth pains. They're creation groaning for the sons of God to mature and for the sons of God to come out from among them and be separate and enter into what Christ paid for them to have. But then Jesus said, the true sign of the coming of the Lord is this. This gospel, this he was preaching. He was preaching, take up your cross, hate your life, deny yourself, eat of me, drink of me. You've heard it taught, shall not commit adultery. I tell you, if you've thought it, he was teaching them and showing them the truth. He is the way. We've got to reject our life, walk away from it. All of us are workers of iniquity. The only way into true righteousness is through him. And he was showing that. And then he said the true sign, the sign that of Jesus' coming is that this gospel, and that's his words, as he was preaching, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, this gospel of the kingdom will be declared in all the world. I've heard many Christians think that means Christianity needs to be brought to all the different tribes in the world, and then the end comes. Friend, that is, even Paul said in the Bible, he preached, the gospel had been preached to the whole world back then. And Jesus wasn't saying you've got to reach everybody with Christianity. He was saying this, what he was doing, what he was preaching, will be done all over the world. And if you line that up with other scriptures, it's by his children. It's by the ones that enter into the full stature of Christ. The true sign of the end is the genuine gospel of the cross being declared in the entire world by the true sons of God shining bright as the sun. And when they declare it, they will declare it with power, and they will be doing what Jesus did and even greater than what Jesus did. Friend, we've got to press into the mark of the, we have a very high calling if we are born again. We have an extremely high calling. But pressing into the mark doesn't mean we're trying to produce righteousness for God. It means we're pressing into the to what he has accomplished to be fully manifested. That's what Paul was talking about. I haven't attained unto the resurrection of the dead, he's saying. I haven't laid hold of the full power of Jesus' resurrection, but I'm pressing in to the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank God, beloved. Every true believer in their spirit needs to be pressing in. How do we do that? We do it by continually listening to the Holy Spirit and asking him to show us the truth. That's what he's here for. He's not here so we can talk in tongues, though. That's nice. He's not here so we can prophesy. That's even better. But he's here to lead us into the truth, because it's the truth that makes us free and delivers us from what? From sin. Why? Because Jesus isn't coming back for a sinful body of Christ. He's not. He's coming back for a purified body who has perfected holiness as the New Testament commands. They have perfected holiness through the genuine fear of the Lord. They've perfected holiness by believing what he accomplished, confessing what he accomplished, and being aware of the coming wrath of God and pressing into what Jesus paid for us to have. And they're presentable now as spotless and pure. This is where we're headed. That's why there's a great awakening right before Jesus comes. All of them went to sleep, but there's a great awakening. There's a trimming of lamps. There's a fire. There's a flame. There's oil. There's the preparation. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Rise, awake, O sleeper. Oh, hallelujah. And let the glory of the Lord shine upon you. Praise the living God. Oh, beloved, if we're true believers, even if we are right now in a quagmire, in a mess, even if we do love things of the world, if we're genuine and we look to him, he will deliver us from it. Now, I used to think he was going to do that by touching me with some kind of power, you know, because it said he'll quicken me with the same thing he raised Jesus, the same power he raised Jesus from the dead with. So I was looking for that power. All of a sudden, I didn't want to sin anymore, but that's not the path into freedom from sin. Jesus showed us the path. When it said he'll quicken you with the same power he raised Jesus from the dead with, in that context, it's not talking about not sinning anymore. Jesus said the freedom from sin comes from continuing to hear what he's saying until we really grasp the truth. And the truth will make us free from sin and its power. That's what Jesus said in the context. They said, what do you mean make us free? He said, I tell you the truth. Whoever sins is a captive to the sin. But whoever God sets free, whoever the Son sets free, is free actually. They're actually free. They're free indeed. Not in thought, not just in confession, but they're genuinely free. Sin has no power over them. They have dominion over it. Friend, very simply, it means they are not sinning. They're not living in the flesh anymore. They're walking in the Spirit. And friend, this is going to take the body. It's going to take more than one person. We can't do this on our own. And only God can do it. Jesus builds the church. What's our part? To bring our attention to what he accomplished. Every thought captive. To press in to Jesus. Lord, let your life flow and not mine. Every day to be listening to the Holy Spirit, because he's leading us into the truth, showing us why we had to die, showing us that we did die, showing us how to deny ourselves, how to reject our parents' life, how to reject our wife's life, our husband's life, our kid's life, how to reject this Adamic life and lay hold of the life of the last Adam. The Spirit is here to show you what's wrong with the life you got from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't even see it. If Jesus was standing here with us, we could see the difference of our life and his. He doesn't do anything for himself. He's not self-focused, self-centered, self-aware, self-advancing. He's a life-giving spirit. Everything he does is for others. Everything we do, most everything, is almost always for ourselves. Even when we do something for somebody else, it's for ourselves. Even when I go overseas to get the woman out of the wheelchair, it's because I want God to do something with my life. I didn't know the woman's name. I didn't know anything about the woman, and I was mad at God. Yep. And it reminds me of Jonah, when God sent him to Nineveh. And then he found that little shade tree, and he got mad because Nineveh repented. And I can't remember exactly how God questioned him, but basically God said, you get mad about this tree that withered, and yet you're not concerned about all these souls that would perish. You should be rejoicing that they repented. But Jonah was mad. Why was Jonah mad? Because he looked bad. He told him judgment was coming and God held it off and it didn't come. So what we found out is Jonah was just like all of us. He was a worker of iniquity, self-centered, self-focused, self-advancing person. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. They were his enemies. And then when he preached and they repented, it made him mad because God didn't fulfill what he said. And he looked like he was a false prophet. You know? And here he is under this tree and he gets mad because the tree withers. And God said, you're concerned about this tree? But you don't care about all of these souls. He was pointing out what's wrong with our life. He did the same thing to me. Friend, if we don't see what we are and reject it, that's the only way that we'll really be broken, when we see what we are and daily reject it, daily deny ourselves, daily see why we had to die. Friend, Adam is thriving. He's not dying. He's thriving in the quote so-called church. Adam is thriving. I mean, personalities are popular. You know, charismatic people are very popular. That they were, even back in Paul's day, that was happening. And they said Paul was weak. The so-called super apostles put Paul down because he preached in fear and trembling. He was humble. He was a broken vessel. And there were people coming along. They're super powerful people that had the faith. And I mean, who were they? They were Adams who wanted to be recognized, who wanted to be seen as great and strong and powerful. It's what's in all of us. Why was Paul any different? Because he found out what he really was. And he found out there was no good thing in his natural life, not one good thing. He found out that everything he tried to do was dung. He found out why he had to die. And he believed what Jesus did, and he confessed what Jesus accomplished. And he was experiencing some of the power of that, but not the full power of that. So he was pressing into more and more of what Jesus had accomplished. Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you today, beloved. I got to get to work and do some tile work today. Thank you, Jesus. But I pray that this message will minister to you and encourage you in the Lord, that he will finish the work he started. But we do, by the grace of God, we need to look to the Spirit to work in us, both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. And his good pleasure is that we believe, genuinely believe, in the one that he sent, why he had to send him, what the one accomplished when he came. The word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it is sent to do. And that was a prophecy about Jesus. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He did accomplish what he was sent to do. He already conquered sin. He's already actually conquered death. He's conquered it all through the cross. And now the Holy Spirit has come to show us what he did and to lead us into all the truth until we are genuinely free, until we are genuinely walking in the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not until then are we going to get out of here. And if we're not really pressing in, if we've been deceived and lulled to sleep by lies, then we're going to miss it. If Jesus comes back and we don't have the oil necessary, we don't really have the revelation of truth in our heart about the cross, we haven't rejected the life of the first Adam, we can't even be Jesus' disciple, much less escape the tribulation that's coming upon the world. So, beloved, in Jesus' name, do not be deceived by today's false teachers who are saying peace and safety because sudden destruction will come to those who are crying peace and safety. The Bible's so clear about that. There's so many warnings. Oh my goodness. Even Revelation, read the warnings to the seven churches. My goodness gracious. I'll come take my candlestick out. I'll come take my spirit away. Man, so many things God warns us over and over in the scripture. Not so we can live in an unholy, ungodly, unhealthy fear, but so that we can have a godly fear, a healthy fear of the coming wrath, the coming judgment. And we can say, God, you know, purify me, Lord. Show me what I need to see. Help me, Lord, to see why I had to die. Help me to reject my life and to truly lay hold of the life of the last Adam. Otherwise, friend, we will not be ready. Now, I believe God will save many, many people through the Great Tribulation who thought that they were Christians, who thought that they were followers of Jesus, but they're in for a rude awakening. Matter of fact, that saying, I bet, came from God just for the Great Tribulation, a rude awakening. There is coming a very rude awakening. There's an awakening, but it's not a happy one. It's extremely rude because it's an awakening to the truth that many were not walking in the true message of the gospel. They weren't believing in the message of the cross. They weren't denying themselves. They weren't hating the world and the things of the world. They love the world. They're seeking God for the wrong reasons. And oh my goodness, the rude awakening is coming. And how's that going to happen? When all of hell is breaking loose and all the things are happening to everybody and it's not skipping the Christians, they're going to start wondering, what the heck is going on? I thought we'd get to escape. I thought this wouldn't happen to me. Did COVID skip Christians? No, friend. Just as many Christians. It didn't skip Christians at all. And neither is the other tribulations that are coming on the world. I do believe there'll be a group that escapes the Great Tribulation when the whole world is shaken, when the entire, a third of mankind is going to be killed by one plague. I mean, there's some serious trouble coming on the world. But tribulation is already here and is going to increase more and more until the end time, till the very final season where the Great Tribulation will happen. But Christians will not escape tribulation, but the born-again, genuine children of God who enter into the full stature of Christ, I believe without a doubt, will escape the Great Tribulation, because that's the wrath of God being poured out on the earth. And those who enter fully into Christ and preach the true gospel are going to be raptured and taken out of here to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and they will qualify to sit with Jesus on his seat as he sat with his Father on his seat, and they will rule the nations with him forever. Oh, beloved, I want to be a part of that body. Thank you, Jesus. The ones who live in the New Jerusalem, the ones who live in Christ and through Christ, and they live in that city and they rule with that life for all of eternity with him. Oh, beloved, hallelujah. God bless you today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.